Go ahead, Cameron.
Amen, amen. Well, I want to share a couple quick announcements with y'all, but first of all, happy Sunday. Oh, man. I'm not even going to say nothing. I'm just going to try again. Happy Sunday, everybody. Thank you. That's better. So let me just share a couple quick things with you. I know we do this every week, but men, make some noise real quick. Where are all the men at? We're getting there. It's all right. So we have our men's in-house conference. It's coming up this next weekend. It's going to be Friday the 26th is our starting point. We're going to be in here at 7 o'clock, have a wonderful service. Then we all go home, and we're going to come back bright and early Saturday at 8:30 to have breakfast. And then we're going to have some other things going on that morning. And we're going to have wonderful speaker, John George, who's been going around all across the nation preaching a wonderful message on men leading and you know what it means to be a man of God and a lot of wonderful things that we're going to hear. And so this men's conference also falls on our fourth Saturday of the month, which is our Cars and Coffee. And so we are still doing Cars and Coffee, and we are incorporating it in with our men's in-house conference. So part of what we do is we're going to be going out and looking at the cars and fellowshipping with all those folks. So we're still going to be doing that, and it will be a part of our conference to do. Important note is that today is the last day to get tickets. So if you need to get your tickets still, $25 for the men's in-house conference, you can get them after service today. Yeah. So out in the lobby, please get your tickets today if you're still haven't got yours yet. And speaking of cars and coffee, we're going to do something cool too. This is looking a bit ahead, but we got to give you some warning for this because we need your help. Amen. You know, it's all the church body is called to outreach. Amen. Every church person, every church body, we're all a part of the body of Christ. And so we're going to be doing an outreach partnered with our Cars and Coffee the fourth Saturday of next month. We're going to be doing a trunk or treat on October the 25th. And it's going to be Saturday morning. So if you're interested, just to kind of get your thinking, if you want to decorate your car and, you know, pass out candy to some kids and some tracks and things like that as an outreach opportunity, be thinking about that. And it doesn't have to be a classic car that you decorate. You know, any car that you want to decorate for that, we can go ahead and do. I'm almost done. Don't worry. I have another important announcement, too. You know, we are looking soon to start our Victor's Kids class. And what this class essentially is it's a sensory-friendly class. And so we know that there are kids who need more one-on-one attention with the leaders. Amen? And so we want to provide that, and we want to be that resource. And we're doing it because there is a need. And so we are asking, you know, for those of you who are willing and you want to be a part of serving in that, that you would sign up and to help us out in that. And we are going to be doing a luncheon for all the folks who are wanting and willing to serve in that on October the 5th. It's going to be after service in the Red Room, and we'll let you know more about that as time comes. But other than that, Paul is waving at me.
The Cars and Coffee in October is also a barbecue, hot dogs and hamburgers.
That's even better news. Paul just said that the Cars and Coffee in October is also going to be a barbecue, hot dogs, and hamburgers. So if you weren't convinced before, and hot dogs and hamburgers doesn't do it for you, I don't know what will. But I just hope that you all would consider serving in along with us for those things that we talked about. Other than that, I'm going to ask all of our 6th to 8th grade junior hires, if you guys would head to the back. We'll dismiss for class and then... Actually, wait for one second. Wait for one second. Just be ready, but wait. Pastor Pam's going to come speak. And let's Pastor Pam here.
Good morning. Well, today is the homecoming celebration for Charlie Kirk, and I want our church to be somewhat a part of that. I believe he is a brother of the Lord, a martyr for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there's just a few things I want to share about that. You know, I don't always get into numerology and different things like that, but somebody brought something up I thought was pretty amazing. He died on the bullet that killed him hit him at 12:23. And so someone brought out that in John chapter 12, verse 23, it says, Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But in its death, it will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it, and those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. I love this. I think it's so fitting for his life. How many were not familiar with Charlie Kirk before this happened? Really? Most of you were familiar with him then. That's wonderful. Charlie Kirk, you know, he was just 31 years old. And the thing about Charlie is that he has such a heart for Jesus, such a heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he used politics as a way to get the message of freedom, the message of Jesus Christ, into conversations with the youth, with our college kids. And, you know, Pastor and I were in Southern California when this happened. You know, it was just, you know, there was something very significant that happened in the spirit realm when this happened. There's turning points, and it's interesting that his ministry is called Turning Point. A turning point means you're going one direction, something happens, and it turns and pivots the different direction. Jesus, when Jesus was crucified, his disciples were going one direction. He gets crucified, and there's a turning point in the disciples' lives. They turn around and are thinking, oh my God, you know, the man we had faith that was the Messiah is dead. But then 3 days later, he rises up from the grave, another turning point they didn't see coming. And you know, what the enemy means for evil, God turns for good. And so we are seeing a rise in this nation, actually across the world, a turning point that happened on that day, I believe it's September 10th, when a turning point hit and it pierced all of our hearts. You know, some it didn't, but there was a turning point. And now we're seeing another turning point come for the youth in this nation to rise up. And amen. One thing that if you've been watching anything about his life, Charlie was interviewed one day, and he said, what would you like to be remembered for? And he said, I would like to be remembered for courage for my faith. And let me tell you what the word courage means. It means it's the strength of mind to confront difficulty, danger, pain, or intimidation, even when you're afraid. Courage for my faith. And I pray that we all would have courage for our faith this morning and for the days that are ahead. You know, I loved what I heard someone else say too, that, you know, I pray that day that I'm killed, that the demons rejoice as well. It's no coincidence he was shot in the neck where his voice is, where truth is trying to be silenced. The enemy rejoices, I believe, through we see people rejoicing in his death, which is so horrible. But may the demons rejoice the day that our mouths are silenced for speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I love that. But what I would like us to do is, I know they're doing the service right now. He leaves behind Erica, his wife, and his two children, and my heart just goes out for them, although I think she's going to be a lioness that's rising up. Very powerful, strong woman. Many are calling her the Queen Esther of our time. And so we want to surround her as a family here at Harvest Bible Church for Erica and for the children, amen? And for the youth of our youth. Matter of fact, could I get our youth, could you just come stand in the front, our youth? Come on, don't be scared. This is courage right now. Show some courage. just stand in front of me here. We're just going to pray. I'm not going to have you do anything crazy or weird or wave a flag. Although that's a great idea. You can face me right now. It's okay. Amen. I mean, that's college age too. Any age. You can come up. I want the youth. I want to speak to you just really quickly, my little youth. You know, you've kind of seen what's happened this last couple weeks, and I just pray that you guys would have courage, that the Holy Spirit would just anoint each one of you guys with wisdom and a fearlessness and a boldness for Jesus in your classrooms, against your peers, not meanness. Charlie wasn't a mean person. Charlie was a man who spoke truth, but in kindness. But I'm praying that each one of you, that today at Harvest Bible Church, our youth, that you would just be anointed by the Holy Spirit this morning in your generation. There's revival breaking out in your generation. Things that I've asked for and prayed for my generation, it's come to you. And so as your leaders in this church, we just thank you for being here for such a time as this, and ask that God would use you and anoint you and bless you and protect you and make you bold as a lion. Amen. Amen. So everybody, congregation, stand up to your feet. Stretch your hands towards these children, our young adults and youth. And then we're also going to pray for Erica and her family. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you what the enemy meant for evil. God, we thank you that you're going to turn it for good. And God, I pray that, Lord, we first of all, we want to lift up Erica and Charlie's children, Father. We surround them, Father, this morning from our church, and we pray, God, angels that would surround them and keep them safe. We pray protection. Lord, I thank you that you, God, the mantle that is left behind that now comes upon his wife, that, Father, Lord, you'd give her a spirit of wisdom and grace beyond her years. You would give her favor and open doors and opportunities to speak into the life of this generation. God, we thank you that the youth is coming alive, God, that churches are packing up, that Bibles are being sold off the shelves. And God, I thank you that people that were once a proclaimed atheist are thinking about Jesus again because of this one life of Charlie Kirk. God, may we rise up and be such a life for Jesus Christ. May we have courage. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. And so we pray for our young people now. We pray for those here at Harvest Bible Church. We pray for an anointing to come upon them this morning. We pray for a mantle to come upon them this morning, a spirit of wisdom beyond their years, God, understanding of your word, understanding of the times that they're living in, that they may speak the truth of your word fearlessly and with courage. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. God, I pray that they would not be swept away by lies and deceptions of the enemy, but God, you'd keep clarity before them, Father. May they know who they are in Jesus Christ. May they have a relationship with you, Father God, that is so strong and so powerful and so real. We ask in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, may we here at Harvest Bible Church, may we stand, be found standing, God, to have courage in our faith as well, Lord. And we too pick up that mantle, Father God, that we might speak boldly the word of God without fear. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you guys. Thank you so much. And high school, you can go to your class. Junior high, sorry. High school, you stay junior high. You may go. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. And I have one more announcement just to add to that. And, you know, we've been praying for, as Mr. Bill Rudin's always got up and each year and let us know, and we need to do that and keep praying for all of our schools and for all of the county and everything that we live in. And praise God. There are also, things are opening doors. You know, there are Christian teachers in all of our schools that are desiring people to come in and pray with them and pray with the kids and do things. And so, you know, there's a Stockton prayer team that does a lot of that. And they've asked if we would have anybody in our church that'd like to get involved in that and go to the schools, to the junior highs and to the high schools. Amen? And not just be sitting here praying for them, but actually go out there and actually be involved and lead people to Jesus and get connected. You know, it's one thing to stand back, but it's another thing to say, I'm going to put my hand to the plow and allow God to be God. Amen? And so if you are interested in doing that, which would be a tremendous blessing to do, please see Miss Marilyn, who's out there at, you know, at our CAT booth and all the thing, which is our community action team. And then also, you know, there's still time as far as to connecting with all the goofy things, you know, Governor Newsom hasn't passed any bills or hasn't signed any yet, but so I don't know what all we can do except for just continually keep sending them and saying, hey, stop. But you know what? I know that with the Charlie Kirk and all the things, our nation's in revival, and it seems like that California got left off. But you know what? Or Washington and Oregon. Seems like they don't like the left coast, but we're on the left coast, okay? And I don't care if it's the right coast, left coast. God called us here. God said we were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And that's what it is. And we've been called here. We've been called to be here. And we've been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. And I love California. I was born here, okay? Hallelujah. And I believe that revival can take place. And I believe revival is taking place in spite of all the other things that are going on. Amen. And because you're here and because God has touched your heart, revival has begun in your heart, which is an awakening, which means you're awakened to, is there truth out there that I don't know? Is there something that God is calling me to do that I'm not doing? Amen. Amen. You're never too late. You always want to finish. Amen. And I want to give you some words this morning, because as I was praying and just seeking the Lord about all this, and we've been praying, I just really felt in my heart, you know, there's things that we've got to do to finish. Yes. Amen. And the world is different. How many of you know the world is different now? Yes. It is different. It's different on what's going on. And the enemy always wants to use fear. Yes. Fear. He always wants to use fear to get you to be quiet. Amen. That's his goal. That's why somebody gets killed. That's why this is happening. That's why, and the silencing and trying to silence a nation. But he's not going to be able to silence our nation. He's not going to be able to silence us. Amen. Because we have a voice. We have a voice. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew 24, when it talks about the end times and the end days, okay? And I know that Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's talking to about the Jewish things that are taking place, but he makes a whole bunch of statements here for us to grab a hold of. And I just want to give you some words that we need to have that I believe will help you, tremendously help you how to navigate through. Because I'm not discouraged. I'm not in fear. I'm excited. Jesus is coming, folks, okay? Now's not a time to go, oh, man, we lost a voice. We're going to have a whole bunch of voices. We may have lost one voice, but there's going to, if you hear it, you see, you have people that are being bold. You have people that are being strong. Listen, God is calling us to continue to do the things we're doing. We're still going to have a harvest. We're still going to reach out to the world. We're still going to reach out to each and every. We're still going to proclaim the gospel. We're going to still bring back the King. Amen? Do you know, coming to the end is not a sorrowful time for the church. It's a glorious time. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's going to be tough times. Yeah, there's going to be persecution. You know, I was going to title this, you know, that in a world of persecution, you need to be prepared. Or I was going to say preparing for persecution. I like persecution because it separates us. It shows us where we're at. I like when the fire's on it. You kind of get to see where you're at. I like getting in the trenches. I like getting to see how much is my faith really working. You know, I like when my faith comes up against things. But I like to fight. So I like to fight against things, okay? And I don't like, when I say I like to fight, I don't like to physically do anything. But I like to spiritually, because there's an enemy arrayed against us. And we've got to stand our ground, and we've got to know some things. Amen? And so as we look in here, in Matthew chapter 24, it says, and I'm going to begin reading a verse for me. You may read a lot of this chapter. It says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him and showed him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all of these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another, and that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. Now this is just him talking to his disciples, sharing with him on the last, when he's, you know, being here before he's going to be crucified. You know, these are things he wants to share with him. He says privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and he said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. Gosh, have we not been lied to the last 5 years? When they tried to take over the world in 2020 and tried to destroy and tried to cause fear. And to see, and they put out things seeing what they could do, and they found out, man, they had a lot more power than they thought they had, because everybody got afraid to die. Y'all okay? Now we got to talk truth. Because the very first word that you got to have to walk this thing out is you got to be honest. You got to understand truth. You got to speak truth. You got to be truthful. You got to be honest. Where are you at? We found out where we were at in 2020. I'm not mad at you, because I said the reason that all that happens is because of all of us pastors and leaders. We didn't teach you right and tell you to stand strong in it, because we all cowered in a lot of, I didn't cower very much, but we all didn't do the right things. Okay? Amen. And you all know our story. We did not close. We did not, but that's not bragging on us. That's just because I had to be honest with me. So where am I at? I had to be truthful. We got deceptive. We got all these things, and now we've got more knowledge coming to us. You got all this stuff. Boom, boom, boom. Everything's being bombarded. Everything's bombarded through the internet. All of these things, and yet most of it's not even true. And so we're getting all confused. First thing is, you got to be honest. What is exactly do I believe? What do I believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? What do I believe about eternal life? Yes. Amen? What do I actually believe about this? He said, take heed that no one deceives you. Amen? He says, take heed that no one, for many shall come in my name and say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I know when he was talking about that, he just said, hey, there's going to be this. And then he goes on to say this. Look what he says here. And many shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that? You be not troubled. Isn't that amazing? There's going to be wars. And how many wars do we have going on? All kinds of things. Things that nobody's really. And yet what happens is, he said, we've got wars and rumor, and they be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You know, it's the hardest thing to do is to be honest. And then the second word I want to give to you is two things, peace and calmness. But that's connected. You know, it's hard to be honest with yourself and stay calm about it. See, I don't know about you, but my greatest prayer time is when I dump myself out before the Lord and I consecrate my life before him and say, God, let me show you all the things I have. Is this of you? Is this not of you? Here's, God, not my will, but your will be done in my life. God, what is it? Here it is. Let me throw it out. Should I keep doing it? Is this doing anything? If we're doing it, is this anything? You know? And if God says that's of me, then I got to throw it away. Amen. But I've got to realize, God said, be not deceived, which means I've got to be honest with myself, and I've got to know the truth. And guess what? The truth brings freedom. We have allowed the world to come against. Why did you think that they did this methodically? There was this great attack against the Bible, that it's not really real. Not really. We've got this transit. We got this thing. And we got this thing. Which is real religion? Which is really this? Which, you know, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And the wonderful thing about the gospel is that it is the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. It changes us. That our new birth, that our life in God changes everything. You know? I mean, in watching, you know, I watch more of Mr. Charlie Kirk here lately and all these things here. But the wonderful thing about it was, because it always challenged his faith. He said, no, I accepted Jesus. Yes, I'm a Christian. And that changed me forever. That's why I wanted to help everybody else get changed. It was all about his testimony. How about your testimony? How real is Jesus to you? Amen? How real is Jesus to you? But if you're not honest, and then here's another thing is too, is that if we're going to live in this world which is going to be persecuted, there's going to be things, oh, you're one of them. And you ought to shout it from the housetop, yes! And then you ought to declare, and you're not? Wow! I don't have enough faith to go through this world without Jesus. I mean, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Amen. I don't know about you. People have a tendency, they want to, you know, Peter said this. He said, when somebody comes and asks you the reason of the hope within, be ready to give an answer. We've allowed the intimidation of everybody around us. Oh, you can't say that. You can't do that. Oh, yes, I can. And yes, I will. Hallelujah. And as long as I have a voice, I'm going to continue. Because we got a world of wars going on. There can be wars all around me. There can be storms all around me. But there's not going to be a storm in me. Because Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. My peace. Not as the world gives, but my peace I give unto you. Amen. Jesus gave me his peace. He gave me his calmness. Gave me his boldness. Amen. We look at this and we go, woo, hallelujah. There's a scripture in the Bible when it talks about let the peace of God rule in your heart. How many know you got to let it rule? How many know we can get so stirred up and we can get so, and I can do that. I you guys know me. I'm a very high strung person. I talk really fast. I'm very go get it. I would have been great in the Revolutionary War. I would have ripped off my coat, put on, and got my gun. You guys know that. I'm very active in those kind of things. And the Lord said, you're not fighting with flesh and blood. We're not fighting with flesh and blood. We're not fighting with the left. We're not fighting with the woke. We're not fighting with the ungodly. There is an enemy arrayed against us, and he wants to divide the church, and he wants to divide us, because if he can get us stirred up and doing all these things here and get us stirred up with all of the junk that's going on here and mess up our souls, then we're not functioning the way we should be functioning. So you got to be honest and you got to be truthful with yourself. Where are you at? What do you believe? Amen? And then you got to have peace. You got to settle the battle that's within you. Do I actually believe that what Jesus said in the Word of God is really true? That if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm going to make heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do I actually believe what the Apostle Paul wrote, or when we know that, hey, he wrote to all of these folks and said, listen, here's what you can do. Do we all believe that in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he said, I've been crucified with Christ. Amen. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. She read a scripture that said, unless we die, the seed doesn't grow up. It says, and it goes on. The next scripture, she said, unless you lose your life, you're not going to gain it. He said, well, what does that exactly mean? It means that you realize that when you got born again, you who were you died. And now you in Christ Jesus is now alive. And you believe that what God said, he'd never leave you nor forsake you. That you believe, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, that these things that are taking place, they're supposed to. We're not taken by surprise. Amen. Look at what he said. He goes on to say this. Look at verse, let's keep moving down here. Look at verse 6 and 7 there. It says right here. He says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes and divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Which means, we see that your birthday. I mean, the earth is groaning. We see all kinds of things taking place. He goes on to verse 9. He says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Isn't that amazing? They said they're going to hate you, and they're going to hate you for being followers of Jesus. I know he's talking about the Jews. The Jews got blamed for killing Charlie Kirk in the minute. The Jews get blamed for everything. It's always their fault. It's amazing. It's amazing. And if you listen to the news, it's always our fault. Amen? But here's the thing. When you're honest with yourself and you have peace on the inside, do you know what that does? That brings a confidence. Say, well, who do you think you are? You guys all think. I have a confidence in knowing the Word of God. I have a confidence in knowing what my God said. I believe. So it never bothers me if somebody disagrees with me. You know, it never bothers me. If they can prove through the Word of God the areas I'm wrong, I'll receive it with open arms. But they got to prove it in the Word of God, not just their opinions or whatever they do. You know, because I don't care if I disagree with them on everything else. That doesn't matter. Amen? But what am I confident in? You know, the number one thing I'm confident in is that God said he would never leave me nor forsake me. That when I, on the inside of me, know that he's my Lord, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm born again. I know that I'm a follower of Jesus. And I know that if I died today, I would be in the presence of the Lord instantaneously. Amen. And so I have no fear of death. I have no fear. Why? Because that's where I want to go anyway. That's where I'm headed. Amen. Glory to God. I know that this old ugly body here is going to get laid aside, and then I get to get a new body. He's going to make this better, or he's going to do something better with it. Hallelujah. And then going to get a resurrected body. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm living my whole life for this. And I have such confidence then. I have such confidence because I see everything from God's perspective. Not from my perspective. My perspective is God's a little late. He should have wiped out everybody already, but he's not doing it yet, you know? Hallelujah. But God is our shelter. He's our very present help in time of need. I have confidence in him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, in Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will or his word, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him, because it's in accordance with his word. And so if we look to his word and we realize, wow, God said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5 says that. He will never, never, never leave us nor forsake us, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is our helper. I don't fear what man can do unto me. I have confidence in him. And we have this thing about trying to get cowered down because somebody tries to get you in your head. How many of you know getting you in your head can mess you up big time? You don't try to outthink somebody or outdo things. You just know what's in your heart and you speak from your heart. And when you speak from your heart, you don't have to give an answer to everything else that goes on. Because when I'm honest with myself, or I'm truthful with myself, and I allow the peace of God, or the calmness, and you make sure that there's calm in it. That's how you know you have peace, because you have a calm. And then you have confidence in God, not in yourself. Amen. You know? Amen. I used to have a lot of confidence, you know, in myself. And you all know I'm very sports-minded. I'm very competitive. I like to win. I don't ever do anything unless I'm going to try to win at it. I don't care who it is. You know, why play it if you're not going to try to do your best? That doesn't make any, or do the most that you can do. I don't do anything without trying to be the best at it. I don't understand that. I've never gotten our participation trophy. Amen. I know we do that. We want to help everybody be inclusive, but you know, I always wanted to win and I always played to do that. And I'm still very competitive in that. But the Lord began to remind me and help me in things is that, hey, you know, you got to go in my strength and not yours. Amen. I know that without him, I'm nothing. But folks, we're going to get persecuted. Isn't that exciting? Gosh, I've been waiting for this. This is exciting. You're going to get, some of you have really been persecuted because you've had serious things happen in your life because of something you did for Christianity, something that you've done, something that could have cost you dearly. Amen. Because you were, you know, and yet you saw God intervene. But you know that most Christians are not prepared for persecution. That's the next word here. First one is truthful, or hallelujah, be honest. Second one is have peace, or let's remain calm. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Third one is let's have confidence in God. How many know God's still God? God's still God. Do you ever read in Psalms 2 where it says, he who sits in the heavens laughs? at everybody running around on earth thinking that they're making it bad for him. He's up there laughing. He's having a great old time. God's not wringing his hands. Jesus isn't going, Father, we better help him. Father, we better help him. Father, we better help him. They look like they ain't going to make it. No, Jesus is saying, Father, when can I go? When can I go? When can I go? Let's do this thing. Amen? Amen. But the next word is prepare. We as Christians don't ever prepare ourselves. That's why we get messed up in things. We don't prepare. Do you know why I like persecution so much? Let me give it to you. Because the wonderful thing about it, if you've never really been persecuted for your faith, then you got to ask yourself, does anybody know that I'm a Christian? Because being persecuted by the world or being persecuted by people around you, it totally reminds you that you're not part of the world. This is not my home. This is not my home. I'm not looking to build bigger and better. And I, you know, yeah, I will have things. And I want to do things. Yeah, I want to do all those things. But that has nothing to do. My heart is to see people born into the kingdom of God. My heart is to see you finish your race. My heart is to tell you all the blessings and the abundance of what God has done for your lives. My heart is to tell you how awesome it is to be a child of God. And how when you serve him, how great it is. How great it is to serve and to give and to love. And to watch God do great things. So that when you get up to heaven and you stand before Jesus, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That everybody that I talk to, that they get that same reward. That's my heart. Amen. But we got to prepare for persecution. So I said, well, how do you prepare for persecution? You get persecuted. It's awesome. How do you get over rejection? You get rejected. And you get up. And you actually come back. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. This is, you know, when we see things taking place or we see things happening, because look at verse 9. He said, Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated and of all nations for my name's sake, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Boy, do we have a lot of offense in the body of Christ. Boy, do we have a lot of situations that happen. Everybody's divided about this, divided about that. Everybody wants to know why and how. And I thought the greatest example of knowing, well, why did this happen is because, you know, Cain killed Abel. That's why this happened. Because Cain's works were unrighteousness. And Abel's work were righteousness. Cain was evil and Abel was righteous. And that's why this happened. Because Charlie was righteous and the other side couldn't handle it. You know, Abel didn't, you know, he didn't steal from Cain. He didn't do anything. He obeyed God. That's all he did. He just obeyed God and he got killed for it. Stephen didn't do anything wrong. He just obeyed God. He told the truth. Everything he said in the seventh chapter of Acts, that they put their hands over the ears and ran and then killed them, was all true. Amen? Hallelujah. And as we make a stand, and as we realize God will be there with us to enable us, hallelujah, and to hold us together. Amen? And here's the thing about it. I love persecution because it actually helps us grow. It actually helps us let God be God in our lives, and it'll strengthen us. You know, for the first 20 years of Christianity, it was all there in Jerusalem, and it wasn't until, you know, there had to become persecution so God could get them out of Jerusalem and let them go places and cause it to go worldwide. Amen? And what happens is, and that's, you know, the devil's so dumb. Because you'd think he would realize that every time he persecutes the church, it grows. I know it's not exciting, folks. But I know you're like, oh my gosh, Pastor, you're telling us we're going to have to... You're going to have to believe what the Word of God says. You're going to have to stand up and say, you know what? I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud of the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the blessings of God. I'm not ashamed of what God is doing. Glory to God. It just like Paul and Silas, when they were beaten and all that, and they went into prison, and what is the first thing they do? They lifted up their voice to God. They start singing praises, and they're worshiping God. It's midnight, and the prisoners hear them. Yeah, and then there's a miracle earthquake that takes place. Amen. And an even greater miracle, when the bands were all taken off, nobody leaves the prison. How many prisoners you know that when the doors are open and everything, they can escape, nobody leaves. The jailer gets, and it's dark in there, and the jailer brings in a light. He's about ready to kill himself, and Paul knows by the Spirit. He says, hey, don't kill yourself. We're all here. And then he comes in there, and that Philippian jailer gets saved. We want the power, the presence of God. Listen, folks, miracle signs and wonders are going to accompany, but when you stand strong to see the hand of God in your life. And we as Christians, we've got to stand up. We've got to stand up because, believe it or not, the world is not as tough as you think it is. They're crying out for truth. They're crying out for peace. They're crying out saying, is there anything I can hang on to? Is there anything I can have confidence in? Is there anybody that actually really believes what they believe anymore? Is there anybody prepared to stand and receive and see the salvation of God? Amen? Hallelujah. Yes, there's going to be betrayal. Yes, there's going to be things. But here's the key. And this is the biggest key about persecution. How do we deal with persecution? How do we prepare for persecution? One wonderful word, be faithful. Amen. Be faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to the Word of God. Faithful to coming to church. Faithful to be connected with Christians. Faithful to serve. You know, this. See, if you're faithful to the Word of God, faithful to the family of God, and you're faithful to serve, you're actually going to grow. You're actually going to succeed. You're actually going to finish. Now, if you stop any of those three things, amen, it's going to cause problems. Amen. Christianity is not hard. Serving God's not hard. Being a Christian's not hard. Loving Jesus is not hard. It's not. It's wonderful. It's joyful. Yeah, people are going to say things. They're going to do things. But you know what? When you do it with a sincere and an incredible love of God, hallelujah, God is with you and God is for you. Amen. What? Go with me to Romans. Hallelujah. Don't know if you're all doing okay, but I'm preaching me happy, so I'm good. For those of you that are new here, that's a wonderful saying I use a lot because I do like to, you know, have to preach myself happy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8:31. Just so you see something. Hallelujah. Many times I just continue to quote the Word of God, do everything. Hallelujah. There's going to be such offense taking place, but here it is. He said, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to all these things that are taking place and all the stuff that before that of what's going to take place? He said this, we're going to say, if God be for me or if God be for us, who can be against us? If God's for us, who can be against us? Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless we take hold of the Word of God and we allow God, that doesn't mean that we don't, like I said, in preparation, you've got to be ready to give an answer. Even if it's the answer, you know what? To be honest with you, I don't know all about what you're talking about. All I know is I'm like that blind man in the Bible. I was once blind and now I see. I was once lost, but now I'm saved. And what Jesus did in my life, he changed my life. And I'm not going to denounce Christ. I'm not going to go back. And I just love him. Amen. And most of the time they'll look at you. Oh, you're just saying, you say, yeah, but I'm simply truthful. I'm simply in peace. Glory to God. I simply have confidence in the God of whom I serve. I have confidence in his love for me. Glory to God. And I'm prepared to meet him. And I'm prepared to stand against all the opposition because he fights my battles. Amen? He fights my battles. Hallelujah. And if you believe he fights your battles, glory to God, then you're going to receive your reward. Amen? You know, the Beatitudes says this. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12 says this. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, Jesus told that to his disciples in the very beginning of their ministry. He said, guess what? You're going to get persecuted. They're going to lie about you. They're going to speak all kinds of evil against you. They're going to falsely accuse you. They're going to even eventually kill you. But you know what you need to do? You need to rejoice and count it worthy. Count it worthy. Hallelujah. Because folks, guess what? If you're born again here, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you believe in the Lord Jesus and you've received him as your Lord, guess what? You're on the right side. Guess what? You're a citizen of heaven. Amen. Don't let anybody tell you that you're wrong when it comes to Jesus. Now, you may be wrong in everything else you believe, but if you believe in Jesus, you got to understand that. We need to grab a hold of truth. It's amazing. And people want to say, well, you know, because, you know, that's been one of the joyous things to watch after looking, you know, because I wasn't too connected or anything, but after watching a lot of things this week with Charlie Kirk, the people that would come and ask the dumbest questions, he made them look really, really bad. Because there were things that they didn't even know about, or didn't even have any, because they just got it off the internet, or they, you know, got it through this, or got, and it's like, oh my gosh, you just came here with a ridiculous question. And so who cares? But when you know the truth, it doesn't bother you about anybody else. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And you're going to be faithful. Amen. The Bible tells us that in order to be faithful, hallelujah, that means we've got to be committed. You know, when it talks about there's going to be things that we've got to pursue faithfulness in the sense that we've got to allow God, hallelujah, to be God in our lives. And if we'll focus on God's purpose in our life and be faithful to it. How many know God's called us all to do different things? He's called us all to do one main thing, which is to lead people to Jesus and to let the love of God go out there. But he's all called us. He's given us all different assignments. Amen? And here's something too. You need to be realized that there are going to be people that you've trusted that will probably betray you and offend you. There will be people that you thought were this sort of, and you were like, wow, I never thought that would happen. I never thought that would take place. But if you'll stay focused on Jesus and stay focused on the purpose that you're here and stay focused on what God's called you to do, it'll make the pain a whole lot less hurting. It'll actually keep it in perspective so that you'll be able to keep going. You'll be able to keep moving. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that tells us it's more for a steward to be, is required to be faithful than anything else. He's got to be found faithful. He's got to be found faithful. So listen, I want you to understand, you got to be honest with yourself. You got to be truthful. And the truth is in the Word of God. Look at yourself. What is it that I believe? What is it that I trust in? What is it that I hang on to? What is the Word of the Lord for me? What has God spoken to me? Amen? Hallelujah. And then let the calmness of that, say, I'm just going to trust God's Word in that. I'm going to have peace. The peace that passes all understanding, He's going to guard my heart and my mind. Amen. I love that. I love that. I love to go back and say, Lord, you know, I may go back to, Lord, all I know right now is I'm saved. And so I'm saved. Let's build from here. Amen? You know, and then we can go. We can begin to build upon that. We can begin to build. But then I get confident because I get confidence of the Word of God. It changes everything. And then through that confidence, glory to God, hallelujah, then I get prepared when persecution comes because I don't know exactly how it's going to come. It could come in the sense of you're not doing it. It can come actually from Christians. It can come from other people saying you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you should be doing this. And you've got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you always got to ask yourself, Lord, what am I supposed, what is it that you're desiring? What is it that you're wanting? Amen. Because we want to do everything. We want to be, you know, play God and be able to help everything. But we have to be specific on what God's endeavoring to do for us. Hallelujah. Yes. And we want to be prepared when all of a sudden something happens. You know, Peter said this. He said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, as though some strange thing has come upon you. Because they were all of a sudden, oh, we're getting persecuted. We're getting this. Wow, what's going to happen? You know, Jesus told his disciples there also when he said, listen, I'm going to be crucified and you guys are all going to scatter. And then what did Mr. Peter say? Oh, not me. Not me. I'll die for you. Until you get confronted. So you don't know what you have until you get confronted. Amen? And of course we know, thank God, God had grace and mercy. We know all the ends of the things that take place. But in preparing for persecution, be prepared for it. Don't let what other people say or do stop you from doing what is right. Stop you from being honest. Stop you from being truthful. Doesn't change what the Word of God says. No matter what goes on around you, doesn't change what the Word of God is. Amen? Hallelujah. And here's something too. As we bring this thing to a... Here's another word that I want to give to you. And that is, no matter how ugly, no matter how terrible, no matter how far that everybody else in the world goes, because the Bible says there's going to be darkness on the earth and gross darkness on people. That means people are going to get more gross. You stay kind. Kindness. Kindness is how you're going to win people to Jesus. Kindness. Kindness is not weakness. Amen? You be kind. We love. We love. The only difference between you and me and the rankest, ugliest, defiled person out there is Jesus. You do realize that when the church was being persecuted the most, there was a young guy named Saul who was doing all of the havoc. He was killing all the Christians. He was there when Stephen was killed. They threw their coats at his feet because he's the one that ordered Stephen to be killed. The first martyr. And Saul had a Damascus Road experience. Amen? He was going to bring letters to arrest everybody else. And God said, I've had about enough of you. I think we ought to change you. And he changed him. And he made him Paul. And you know, that's why Ananias, when the Lord spoke to Ananias, said, hey, go, there's one Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias said, I heard of him. He's got letters to arrest me. What an amazing thing. Would you, obviously, here's the guy that's supposed to arrest you and put you in prison and get you killed. And God says, I want you to go pray for him. He knows you're coming. He's seen in a vision that you're coming to talk to him. Amen. And then Paul. And now you know why everybody was afraid of him, because he's the one that, but what did God do through the Apostle Paul? Just a few things. Just a few things. He wrote, you know, almost half the New Testament in letters that we have. He did so many things. And yet, what God do? Be kind. I think that's one of the biggest things, too, is that we're not going to... I'm so proud of, you know, all the stuff that's transpired and how it's been handled through all the things that have taken place. How many know there hasn't been any riots? Nobody's gotten shot or killed, or we haven't, you know, nobody... Isn't that amazing of how much we got talked about than when somebody else got killed, you know, back in the day, and then in 2020, and all of a sudden there was riots, there were cities being burned? Because that's what the devil does. Amen. And I don't care if you were for that, that's wrong, okay? That was dumb, you know, and it's still raging havoc today, okay? All this, all, you know, and they were blaming it all on us. Crazy, right? Totally, because now you see the truth. Hallelujah. Because we live in a world of bad news. We do. You and I need to be the good news. We're the good news. We're the light. We're the salt, okay? Yes, everywhere we come, we change things. We bring in the best flavor, hallelujah, and we bring the most light, and it opens up so everybody can see the truth. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. So let's be kind, and let's bring good news. We've got good news. We've got good news. Good news. So let's not go and say, oh, let's go. Yes. Let's stand up and let's believe the word of God and let's be determined that we're going to endure. Actually, go back to Matthew 24:13, okay? Go back to Matthew 24:13. We're closing on this. And I wasn't sure how this thing was going to go over, but I'm okay with it. Hallelujah. I really was okay. I said, all right, Lord, they're going to just throw tomatoes at me or it's going to be good. I don't know what they're going to do. They're never going to come back. That's okay. I said, Lord, it's back to church Sunday. We ought to preach something really nice. Not, guess what you're going to have to expect if you come back to God. Isn't this awesome? They're going to ridicule you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to say, you're one of those. But glory to God, you're going to make heaven. And glory to God, you're going to succeed. And glory to God, you're going to be one that brings the good news. And God's going to say, well done. Hallelujah. We're glad to have you back. We're glad that you're here. We want you to be here. We're going to finish. And we're the ones that win. We're the ones that are going to go. We're the ones. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So in Matthew 24:13, it says this, but he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. Amen. Verse 14 says, and this gospel shall be preached in all the world. Thank God it's going. Thank God we're endeavoring to do that and a witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. We don't know when Jesus is coming. We can say it. We can speculate. We don't know. Be honest. Glory to God. But let's finish. Let's keep going. Let's keep doing. Let's be determined that we're going to finish what God told us to do. And we're going to be kind with it. And everything we say is we're going to be good news. You know, the sinner doesn't need you to go out there and tell him he's a sinner. He already knows that. He needs you to go out there and tell him that Jesus loves him. And that Jesus died for him, even yet in his sins, and to receive that. You know, there was a song when I was growing up, and I liked it. It was called, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You know, one of the other verses says, though none will follow, yet I will go. Amen. And so guess what? That's what we're going to do. That's what Harvest Bible Church is going to do. We're going to finish our course. We're going to reach out. We're going to love. We're going to do. We're going to continue to do the vision that God has given unto us. And even more so because we want to reach out and love people. We are going to be honest, truthful. Amen. We're going to let the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts. And it's going to bring a calmness so that wherever we go, we're going to bring calm. And wherever we go also, we're going to be confident in the presence of God. We're going to be confident in the protection of God. And we are going to be confident in the plan of God. God's plan is still going. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to be confident in that. And we're going to be prepared. We're going to be ready for persecution. People aren't going to like the good news. And they're going to think that we're this or that. It doesn't matter. We're still going to share the good news. And we're going to be prepared for persecution. We'll be ready when they talk bad about us. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, there's other scriptures in the Bible that says, woe unto you if the world starts speaking well of you. Amen. But we're going to do that. We're going to let God be God in our lives. And we're going to be faithful. We're going to be faithful. And not only are we going to be faithful, but we're going to be kind. We're going to be kind. Why? Because the world needs loved when they deserve it the least. You know, there's a wonderful saying, people need love the most when they deserve it the least. They really do. They need somebody that's going to believe. And then we're also going to endure till the end because we're going to bring the good news. Aren't you glad for the good news? Man, it's so good to know, hallelujah, that no matter what, we make heaven. Amen. And we are going to endure till the end. And we're going to finish our course, guess what? With joy. We're going to be rejoicing. We're not going to drudgery through this. We're not just going to make it. No, we're going to ride high. We're going to watch God do great things, and we're going to finish our course. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Lord, I declare and decree the word of the Lord for Harvest Bible Church and for all these folks that are here and all those that are watching, Father, if there are. I just thank you, Father, for your amazing grace. Lord, thank you. This is a turning point in our nation. This is a time and a season that you're going to raise up, and these young people are going to rise up. And Lord, thank you. There's going to be those who were Saul that are going to be Pauls. There are those that are going to rise, and there's going to be Timothys. Hallelujah. And there's going to be Tituses. Hallelujah. There's going to be those that rise up, hallelujah, and begin to decree and to declare your word. Father, we are going to be finishers. But Father, right now, as we bow our heads, and as we honor you, Lord, there's a lot of folks here that have come back because of the events, or they've just come back and said, hey, I want to come back. I want to get my life back in order. I want to come back and be involved in things, or I want to just get connected back again. This is, you know, come back to church Sunday. Father, you declared in your word that if we would believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we would be saved. Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. He died for the whole world. And the only sin that we're going to get judged by in the sense of whether we make heaven or not is whether or not we receive Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. Father, you said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10, you said that if I would believe in my heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, I would be saved. For with my heart, I believe unto righteousness, and with my mouth, I confess unto salvation. So, Lord, thank you for that. So, Father, if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice, or anyone here, hallelujah, that needs to come back to God, you also said in 1 John 1:9 that if we need to come back to you, if we would confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that you're always wanting us to come home. And so if you're here and you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, whether it's the first time or whether it's say, I need to rededicate my life, or I just need to do like what 1 John 1:9, I need to say, hey, Lord, receive me again and cleanse me again. If you're here and you say, that's why I'm here. I want to make sure that I know that if I declare with my mouth and I believe with my heart, hallelujah, I will be saved. I get righteousness by believing, but I get salvation by confessing. And if you want to pray, we'll pray. We'll lead you in a prayer. It's not the prayer. It's you believing in your heart and you confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You meaning it. You taking hold of it. It changes everything. You pass from death to life. Something supernatural happens. It's amazing. So if you want prayer, you see, that's me. Just raise your hand real high and I'll pray. We'll pray. We'll believe God with you. Hallelujah. And you may, like I say, everybody here may be saying, you're just coming and say, I just need to re-come back. It's made me think about my life. Because I've preached to Christians this morning. I've preached to my church and the body of Christ of where we're going to go and where we're going to be led to. Hallelujah. But if you don't know Jesus or you're not sure, that's my heart. If you're not sure, then let's just make sure. Amen. Let's make sure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all of these. Lord, we don't, it's too good a gift, too precious, too wonderful to force. Father, you said those that are willing, it's of a willing heart. And Lord, I thank you that each and every person here, I believe they're all born again. I believe they all know who you are. Father, they've come because they're desiring for your hand to be upon their life. Father, thank you for that. Thank you, Father, you're showing them things. You're showing them things. You're bringing truth so they can be honest with themselves of where they're at. Say, I need to grow. I need to learn. I need to serve. I need to get connected. I need to be involved because I don't want to be alone again. I want to be part of the family of God. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for it, Father. Lord, we honor you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you because of what your word declares. Your word declares the church is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. And Lord, I thank you for that. We're not backing up. We're not backing off. We're going to continue to just rise up and decree and to declare what God's word says. Father, thank you for that. You're going to continue to show us. You're going to continue to give us vision and lead us in every area that we need to be led. Father, we surrender ourselves to you. Hallelujah. And Lord, at this time, I just feel impressed that we consecrate ourselves to you. Lord, there is a prayer of consecration. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Your will in the earth be done. But Father, not my will in my life, but your will be done. Father, I yield myself as a vessel that you can use. Your plan and not the plans of man. Father, your plan and not the plans of man. Hallelujah. Your purpose in our lives, your purpose in our lives. Father, some we know our purpose. Others, they need a purpose. Others, they need to rekindle the purpose that they have. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for your hand. Father, I decree and declare your glory shall just go forth. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. 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 Well, I want you to know I love you. I know that this is was interesting and very convenient times, but I'm not apologizing for nothing because I want to help you walk through it. I believe that we are at the greatest times ever. And this is the greatest time to be part of the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we still have, you know, our prayer team is still here. If you'd like to have prayer, they're going to come forward. Let's all stand up. Praise God. If you want prayer for anything, they're here. I love you. God loves you. Be blessed. Amen.